Good morning. It is a Friday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok, on the cusp of a weekend and another nor'easter this week, with word that the potential exists for another one of these storms next week.
Mother Nature is going to say, you can have your spring, but first you have to fight for it and you have to suffer. Now we have a choice whether this next nor'easter will go out to sea or whether it will hit us where it hurts. Being a pessimist, I think right now we have to prepare as if we're going to get it again. It is a time when people really have to just sort of say, okay, I'll have to give up my barber's appointment for the day.
No question. And let's keep our fingers crossed. Now to another fingers crossed situation. We're learning that the invitation from North Korea's leader Kim Jong-un has been accepted by President Trump. Your thoughts on that this morning?
Well, look, President Trump, or Trump as some people call him, has nothing to lose by participating in this. He sees himself as a great deal maker. I have my real doubts about Kim Jong-un because I think he is a guy who has done this kind of thing and his family has done this kind of thing before, only to pull out at the last minute. And the famous six-party talks were exactly that. Look, he sees himself as being vulnerable. He is a totalitarian. He has a totalitarian regime. Now he's talking about reunification. I don't think that's going to happen, because if it were to happen, he would have to have agreed to a democratic system and a democratic election, and I don't think he's prepared to do that. Look, at all costs, he wants to preserve himself and he wants to preserve his regime. And if he makes concessions, like giving up his nuclear arsenal and other things, he creates a vulnerability for himself, at least in his mind he does. And that's what we have to keep our eye on. My bet is that the Chinese are the big issue here, and I'd love to be the fly on the wall to know what Chairman Xi and others are thinking.
As we're here in the early morning hours on the BBC, Stephen Sacker, who is known for grilling the participants who go on his program, his one-on-one interview, was speaking to a Russian candidate who's running for election against Vladimir Putin. But of course, we have Russians accused of meddling in the elections. So Sacker accuses the Russian of being a put-up by Vladimir Putin. He vehemently denies it, but then each time Russia's criticized for something, he protects the Russian Federation.
This candidate is an economist. He works for Putin. He said, is there a conflict of interest? No, there isn't. Look, it's important to remember that the Russian people like Putin, and you can't get away from it. This is the tradition, the national character of Russia, which is we want a strong leader. And their dalliances in democracy have not worked. It looked good for a little while after the fall of communism. But here we have this KGB colonel, you know, who's running the whole show. So what's changed? Not much.
Could there be change in the Democratic Party when it comes to superdelegates? We're reading Democratic officials considering a new proposal to effectively eliminate all superdelegates, a move that would go beyond recommendations put forward late last year by the commission tasked with making the party's presidential nominating process more fair. That's from BuzzFeed this morning.
Hey, David, we've seen this before. What happens is you eliminate the superdelegates. I remember when, during the McGovern years, that there were no superdelegates and people like Teddy Kennedy couldn't go to the convention, as I remember it, and my memory isn't all that good. But I do know that some of the very top Democrats, whose historical memory and everything else should have been part of a Democratic convention, weren't. So here we go again. I know that the Bernieites, and I was one of them, were ticked off because the convention seemed loaded because of these superdelegates. So they made the idea that, hey, if we're going to have a convention and if we're going to elect the delegates, then you can't start appointing the delegates to load one side or the other. That's where we stand right now. I think there's got to be a way of assuring that the senior people in the party will be allowed to come.
Should there be a way of assuring people have more days to vote, Alan? A Central New York's top election official, Onondaga County Democratic Election Commissioner Dustin Charney, asked the Syracuse Common Council on Wednesday to support a state initiative to implement 12 days of early voting. It's from Syracuse.com. You've spoken on this before.
Hey, David, I'm all for it. Every time you expand the franchise, you get more people to vote, remembering that this is a country where 50% of the people or more don't vote. You know, the people who have the most are most likely to vote to protect the franchise and their own franchise. The thing that has always puzzled me is that the people who have the most to gain by voting don't. They don't participate. That has to change.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, joining us. Alan, listeners, have a great weekend. Alan, don't forget, spring forward Sunday. We'll be sleeping as it's still light out next week.
I like spring forward. It means you have to do less with your watch.